Yes, ma'am.
Okay, here you go.
Good afternoon, sir.
Hello?
Yes, sir, good afternoon. Would you state your name and ADC number for the record?
Joseph Downey, 98715.
Thank you, Mr. Downey. You appear before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for your parole hearing. That is, you have been certified by the Department of Corrections to be considered for general parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest. Is that your understanding? That's why you're here this afternoon, sir?
Yes, sir.
And you cannot see us today because we're doing this by telephone, but there are five board members participating in your hearing this afternoon, and they are the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, the Honorable Mr. Louis Kiwanis, the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, the Honorable Mr. David Neal, and my name is C.T. Wright. I'm serving as your panel chair this afternoon, sir. According to information that we have, and I'm just going to do a brief summary, and then you and I can talk, and along with other board members. But a brief summary that I would just put on the record, that you're currently serving a sentence for murder in the first degree, and you were the sentence began back on March 29, 1993, and you will become parole eligible on March 29, 2018. That means that if this board saw fit to parole you today, it would not become effective until March 28, 2018. That's when you would become parole eligible. Do you understand that, sir?
Yes, I do.
And I also would just take note that based on information that you did appear before this board, not these members, but the board itself, back in 1993, October 7, 1993, and at that time you were denied. I believe that you were being considered for early parole, a work furlough, or home arrest. Also, we usually don't mention this, but I'm going to mention it, and you don't have to talk about it. I also observe your STG information that you were Pepperwood, that you were also Aaron Brotherhood, but you had started the step down process. Did you complete that process, sir?
I did, and I made it out to the yard, and administration received guidance from different people saying that there was a threat on my life, so they removed me from the yard and brought me back here for my benefit.
Okay, so I want to commend you for the step down process. Sorry that there are threats on your life, but that happens from time to time, but you were very brave to do that, and we trust that you will be protected. We do understand as a board that happens quite often, so I just wanted to commend you when I saw that you had gone through that step down process in the Ames report, sir. Okay, well, I'm going to continue to move forward. We do have a copy of your progress report, and you have had so many programs, especially recently in 2017 and 2016. You've had so many. I'm not going to attempt to go through all of them, but why have you been taking so many programs recently, sir?
May I ask, did you receive the green folder I sent you?
Let's see, do I have the green folder that you sent? Do we have the green folder? I'm asking other board members, some of them much
mine
faster.
Mine isn't green, but I have...
Well, we have the folder, but it's not green. I guess they forgot to give us the green one, but yes, sir, we do have your report, sir.
Okay, and then that has all the rest of my programs in it.
Right.
I didn't wait until 2017 to program. I've been programming.
Yes, sir, I noticed. Yes, but when I saw all those in 17 and 16 and 15, I said, you've really been doing a number of programs. And I noticed that a number of them were dealing with vocational training. So if you're released, so what do you plan to do out in the world in terms of employment? Because you've taken a number of technical programs. I do take notes, sir.
Well, initially, I'm going to take whatever I can get, and then I'm going to try to go into the construction field, or maybe the automotive.
Okay. Well, I commend you. That's just my way of commending you on all the programs that you've taken. I just wanted to let you know that the board do take note of that, and we're always very proud when we see that type of thinking ahead. And we also take... Go ahead, sir.
What's the Once they started offering programs on this unit, that's when I decided to do it here, too. Because for a long time, they didn't offer them here.
Oh, okay. Well, as one board member, and I believe I can speak on behalf of the entire board, we're just proud that you've taken advantage of so many of these programs, because there are so many who just don't take advantage of them when they do become available. So congratulations, sir. I would also just take note that in your progress report, your release plan, it said that you have 3 to 4 halfway houses that you can apply to. Have you applied to any of those halfway houses yet, sir?
The Oasis halfway house.
And that's that.
They told me to let them know the results of my hearing, and all I would need would be a recommendation for my CO3, and they would have a bed for me.
Okay, and Oasis, that's in Tucson. Am I correct, sir?
No, it's in, I believe, West Phoenix.
Oh, West Phoenix. Okay. Okay, sir. And we also take note that you feel that you will not need counseling because you for anger management or for drugs. You feel that you have all those under control at this time. Am I correct, sir?
Well, I haven't done drugs since I've been in here over 25 years, and I've only been in one altercation in all that time.
Well, we commend you. You've been able to do so well, sir. Also take note that you do have about $300 in your account and that your family will also help to meet your housing expense and so forth. So, well, what type of family support do you have? I mean, what do you have, brothers, sisters, who are your family members?
Well, all my immediate family have passed away since I've been in here. Yeah. So all I have left is a niece who lives in Las Vegas.
Okay.
It's between her and her mother that have stepped up and offered help. They're the only family I have left.
Okay, so we're glad to know that they would be willing to assist you. And as it relates to your discipline, I do take note that you had 2 minors in 2017 for the same thing, tampering. I believe this was security. What does that mean? So what did you do to end up with those 2 minors, sir?
In our doors, there's the traps that open where they pass the food out. And the first one, honestly, they let the trap open. I took advantage of it, and I passed a few books back and forth. The second one was a misunderstanding, and, you know, rather than sit there and argue with the correctional officer, I just ended up having the ticket. The first one, I did violate the rules, and I did pass using that trap that they left open.
So when they leave it open, you're not supposed to. What are you supposed to do when they leave it open? I'm just not familiar with it. So what do you do when they leave it open, sir?
We're supposed to leave it alone.
You're supposed to leave it alone. Okay.
We're supposed to leave it alone, and I did know better. You know, I've been around long enough to where I knew better.
Well, they gave you a minor, they didn't give you a major, so that at least means that they will consider it because you could have always ended up with a major. Okay, I'm just going to make a brief statement about the instant offense itself, and then we want to let you talk some. But according to the information that I have, and of course, I just give this information because maybe I'm in error. So if I have anything that's not correct, you can tell me once I've completed it. What I've observed is that on March 23rd, 1993, that the victim, who was 34 years of age, was last seen alive in that Lake Havasu City at a bar there, and you're the defendant, and at that time you was 23 years of age, and you eventually helped the victim out of the bar, and you helped to get the victim to his truck, and then you apparently told friends in the parking lot at the bar that he had been, that you had been in a fight and that you had some bruises on your knuckles, and the next day your wife, oh no, the victim's wife found a 10-inch by 21-inch blood stain in her driveway. And then when we jump all the way over to March 28th, the victim's body was found in Coconino County, along with his pickup truck. The body was located about 30 feet from the truck, and that he had been severely beaten. And on March 29, a day later, you were arrested, and on October the 2nd, 1996, you was found guilty by jury of first-degree murder, a Class 1 felony. Is that information correct, incorrect, or what would you want to add something or subtract something from that, sir?
Well, I would like to add a few things, if I may.
Yes, sir. This is your hearing. Yes, sir.
Okay, it's true. We were at the bar. The fight that I mentioned to the people in the parking lot happened at an earlier bar that night. And when I got together with the victim, we spent until closing time at the bar. We met some other people there for spring break. We decided that we were going to go to NAU up in Flagstaff and check out some of the college parties. As I told the jury and my attorneys, I don't know about the blood stain in the driveway because we never went to his house. We just went straight from Havasu straight to Flagstaff. And on the way to Flagstaff, some controversy started between all the individuals. We pulled off the side of the road and things started escalating. And I knew where they were going. Things were getting a little heated because one of the persons riding in the victim's vehicle found a bag underneath the seat with photographs in it. And I had initially thought, to excuse my language, he was just going to get an old-fashioned ass-kicking because of what was found in the bag. And things kind of escalated, and rather than step up and say anything or do anything to try to stop it, I just put my hands up and ignored it and then left. And for a long time I was upset, you know, that I got convicted of this crime because I didn't actually commit the crime. But the fact that I didn't do anything and I knew what was going on, after all these years, I've realized that makes me just as guilty, if not more so, because I knew better. I knew what was going to happen, and I did nothing to stop it.
So what you're telling the board is that you were there, but you didn't participate in the crime at all. You just happened to have been present there, but you didn't intervene at all. Is that's what you're telling the board, sir?
Well, before it started getting too bad, I did push him around, and you know, like I said, I thought he was just going to get beat up. I was participating in that. When it got a little escalated and it became apparent where things were going, I didn't do anything. And this is, I gave the information to all the people that were involved. All this was released during my trial, and the police department, everybody knew this. But since these people were, you know, I met them that night at the bar, I didn't know who they were, where they lived. It was kind of, I'm holding the bag, and that's basically all there was to it.
Okay, maybe you don't want to tell us, as you know, this is not a trial. This is not a court of law. We can't try it at all. But what was, can you tell the boy, what was in the package that was under the seat or wherever it was that the fight started over? What was in there, sir, that created that situation?
Naked pictures. Of minors.
Oh, okay. And so a fight ensued as a result of that. But let me just ask again, and I'm just asking the same question that I asked before, and then I'll move on from this one, but it's still your contention, even until today, all of these years later, that you were not directly involved in the murder itself? You were there, you pushed them around, you pushed the victim around a little bit at the beginning, and then you left, and others, co-defenders actually ended up committing the murder. Am I correct, sir?
That's correct.
Okay, sir.
But I still have to step up and take responsibility. I'm not pawning the blame off anyone else.
Okay, I understand that.
It was my responsibility to do something, and I failed. I failed him, I failed myself by not doing anything.
So what happened to you? You went on up to Flagstaff, to NAU after this? What happened after that?
I went to the closest phone, which was maybe a mile away, and started calling people in Havasu to try to get a ride back home.
And did you get a ride back home, sir?
2 days later.
2 days later.
And I did have money sent to me via Western Union. And I stayed in the hotel, and then when the ride could come up to get me, they came up and picked me up.
Okay. And then some weeks later, you were arrested. Why do you think the police, the law enforcement, why do you think they arrested you, sir? How did they come up with you, sir?
I didn't hear that last part.
I was just asking, why did they pick you up, sir, the law enforcement people? Why did they pick you up?
Growing up in that small town, between my brothers and I, we kind of had, I don't want to use the word reputation, but we were known in that town, and I never once hid the fact that I was in Flagstaff, and they just proceeded investigating after that, and they pulled me in, and I told them what I just told you, and, they couldn't track down, they tracked down individuals because they knew more than one person was at the crime scene, but we couldn't place names and faces to those individuals, so I was their only lead.
So as far as you know, and I know you've been incarcerated these long many years, were you the only one who was arrested and tried for this crime, or was the others eventually caught and brought to trial, sir? You don't know that answer.
The only one I know that was arrested, he was arrested for a different charge. Mm-hmm. And then his wife was arrested for hindering prosecution in my case, because when she got arrested, she told them what her husband did. And then when it came time for her to testify, she backpedaled. So they arrested her for hindering prosecution for withholding information on my case.
Okay, sir. Okay,
that was,
go ahead, sir. I'm listening.
And that was the wife of the only one of them that I knew his full name.
Okay, sir. But what I'm going to do at this time, I'm going to see if board members might have some questions for you. Some of my distinguished board members, they might just have some questions rather than my continuing. The Honorable Mr. Kiwanis has questions for you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Board Chairman. Mr. Downey?
Yes, sir.
Just a quick question, because there's only so much information in the pre-sentence report. You talked about a bag of photographs with pictures, naked pictures of minors, correct?
Yes.
Were those photographs ever recovered?
I didn't make that out. Were those photographs what?
Were those photographs ever recovered?
No, sir, they were not.
Okay. And when you say naked pictures of minors, like how young did you see these photos, and how young did you mean?
I seen some of them, not all of them, and definitely under the age of 18.
Okay. That's the only question I had. I was just curious when you said that was one of the inciting reasons for the fight. I wasn't sure if that became part of the investigation that resulted in your incarceration. So
yeah, I wish they were left in the truck, because I could have brought that up at trial.
Thank you, sir. I have no further questions.
Thank you, Honorable Mr. Kiwanis. Honorable Mr. Johnson.
Sir, Mr. Donnelly, I'm just trying to make sure I understand. So you guys were all together, you had been drinking at a bar, and then you guys were driving to NAU, and you got into an argument over those photos that were in the car. Is that right?
Yes.
So who did the photos belong to?
Well, they were in Victor's truck.
Okay. So
the period that I was there, I don't believe he ever admitted to them. Honestly, he seemed as surprised as we did to find that. But that didn't stop what happened.
So are you saying that you didn't stop? Did you see what happened, or?
I know
you say you threw your
hands. I definitely saw him and the punching and the kicking escalating.
Okay, the punching, and the kicking and escalating, who was that between?
That was pretty much between everybody. And I participated in that too.
So you did participate in the punching and kicking?
Yes, sir.
But when did the stabbing? Did the stabbing occur during that period of time?
No, it did not. But hindsight, looking back at it, it was right at that verge. That had, you know, it was just, we were all, like you said, we were all intoxicated. The heat of the moment, you know, I'm not pawning off any responsibility because I should have done something. I should have said something.
So were your two brothers there too?
My two brothers?
Uh-huh.
No. The only person I knew by name was Rick Sprague. And the rest of them were out-of-town college students in Havasu for spring break.
So, but you do have two older brothers, John and Jeff, right?
Yes, I do. One was in Washington at this time, and the other one was home with my father.
So you did go to a barn and try to get a ride, but you told different stories. As to why you were trying to get a ride. What? Did you just leave the other guys, or what happened?
I just left. I didn't have a vehicle there. It was just the victim's truck and the other vehicle. And yes, I did tell different stories. I wasn't going to say that, you know, whoever I'm calling for a ride, I wasn't going to tell them, you know, we just beat somebody up. I need a ride home. I did tell them we were up there to go to a party. And that's what I did until I found someone to come pick me up.
And you were on probation at the time that this incident occurred?
Yes, I believe it was for criminal damage and a pending DUI. And if I finished probation, the DUI would come off my record.
Okay, so you weren't involved when the stabbings was actually there, but according to the reports, blood stains were noticed on the inside of the brim of the baseball cap that you were wearing. Is that right?
That's right. Just a small smudge of blood.
Okay, and according to DNA testing, the stains were found to be similar to that of the victim's blood.
Say that one more time, please.
According to the DNA testing on that stain, the stain was found to be similar to the victim's blood.
According to the test, they came back definitely the victim's blood.
Okay.
And that, you know, they had my pants, my jacket. They had everything I was wearing and there was just that, it was only one stain, maybe the size of a thumbprint, under the bill of my hat. And I was hitting on him, and like I said, I was kicking him.
Okay, sir, thank you.
Further questions by board members? Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Dr. Wright. Mr. Downey, I see in the your prison discipline history there's four different majors for drug possession or manufacturing. What were those about?
I can barely hear you.
I'm sorry, sir. I see in your prison discipline record that there were four majors about drug possession or drug manufacturing. What were those about?
Early on?
One of them in, let's see, 97, 02, 04, 05.
05. I'm not familiar with one in 05, but the rest of them?
Oh, 04, I'm sorry. 04 is the last one.
They were my stupid attempt to try to make some money so I can buy some things from the store.
So those were about sales, not rather than use?
Yes, just sales. I have not done any drugs since I've been incarcerated.
Okay.
I've given hundreds and hundreds of urine analysis. I've never given a dirty. I've never refused to provide a sample. Drugs are pretty much part of my past.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you, Dr.
And especially now with my problems with my health, with my liver, definitely drugs are off the table.
Okay, sir. Well, thank you so much, Honorable Mr. Rittenhouse. Let me just ask you a couple other questions about the offense itself. Now, were you part of the group who carried the truck out there in the desert and left it? Were you a part of that group, sir? You know, they left the truck and the body was found about 30 feet away from the truck. Did you drive or were you in the truck when they carried it out there, sir?
Yes, I was.
Okay. And we keep talking about so many. Now, how many people were actually in the fight or in the truck when this fight took place? I mean, was there? I know you were there. I know the victim was there. How many others were present, you think? Just guessing.
Four other people.
Oh, four other people were there. Okay. So six all total, sir. Okay, sir. I'm going to ask again any further question by board members. And I ask again if there's anyone present in the room who wishes to speak on behalf or as a victim for Mr. Downey. No one is present. Therefore, sir, we're coming towards the end of your hearing. But this is your hearing. We want to give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board before the board goes into discussion and makes its determination. We ask that you not repeat yourself, but anything else you want to tell the board this afternoon, we're prepared to listen, sir.
I guess, you know, I'm not proud of the choices I've made in my life or where they landed me. You know, I'm deeply ashamed and devastated at the hurt and all the destruction that I brought into so many lives. You know, most people spend a lifetime trying to hide from or set down their baggage. I can't. You know, this is something I'm going to carry with me for the rest of my life. And as I should. It's the daily reminder of just how a few steps in the wrong direction can alter so many lives. You know, I take complete responsibility for my past and my actions and what this particular event has done to so many people. And I plan to use it as I step up to the responsibilities of whatever I face in the future. You know, I read somewhere once that though we're born male, we must learn to become men. And if nothing else, this experience has taught me to be a man. And there's just nothing I can say to you or to the victim's family outside of, you know, I'm sorry. And I'm not that person anymore. And that's pretty much it.
Okay, sure. Go ahead.
I would not throw away or abuse anything that's given to me as a result of this. If whether I stay in or whether I make parole, that will not be wasted. You know, if I get a chance, a second chance, I'm not gonna fail at that. That's all I have to say.
Okay, well, thank you so very much, Mr. Downey. At this time, the board is going into discussion. We're going to ask that you remain quiet while the board is in discussion. As you know, that the board operates under the open meeting law, which means that you can hear everything that we say. The board members have not discussed this prior to this time where you can listen. Therefore, we're going to, at this point, go into discussion and ask that you remain quiet. It may sound as if we're talking to you, but we're just talking among ourselves. The five of us are just talking among ourselves. Board is in discussion now. This is a very unfortunate situation that Mr. Downey found himself in. You, at the time of the offense itself, he was 23 years of age, and apparently they were drinking pretty heavy from one bar to another one, and then on their way up to Flagstaff to NAU to continue partying, and somehow a fight ensued, and the victim was eventually murdered. And of course, Mr. Downey is serving this term for first-degree murder, although it's his recollection that he did not actually commit the murder. He did participate in the fight, but he did not. It was not his. Intent, and he did not himself commit the murder, but he admits that he was there and he has to take some responsibility. I think that Mr. Downey at this time is about 47 years of age, and I believe that he has a very impressive, I'll use the word impressive, package that he's put together with his certificates and so forth. And however, I think that there's still just a little bit missing in terms of the discussion itself, of the offense itself. And I can understand, you know, that many years ago, and he has not appeared before this board since 1993. And I think, you know, this is kind of like his first time. It's not his first time, it's his second time, but it's kind of like his first time. It's been so long since he appeared before this board before, until I think, you know, it's very hard for me as one board member, unless there's something that's very impressive, to say the first time that one comes before the board that he or she, in this case he, would be moved out into the community. I guess as one board member at this time, I am not in favor, but I am prepared to listen to other board members, and that's not my final decision until I hear from other board members. Board members, discussion as it relates to Mr. Downey. Any discussion?
Dr. Wright, I'm impressed by some of the programming that he's actually done, but I'm just not in agreement that he has, and I shouldn't say in agreement, I'm just in agreement that there's just too big of a misinterpretation of what occurred at this night. He was the one that was seen taking and helping a victim outside of the bar, and blood was found. To DNA, he was identified, and according to him, there were some other gentlemen that were involved in it. He don't know who they really were, and I'm just not sure that he's taking responsibility for his actions. And his action is that he was there, but he was participated in a fight, a hitting, kicking, and punching, but he was not there when they did the stabbing, and I'm not even sure if there was anybody else involved in it other than him, because there's no, at least from what I can see in the pre-sentence investigation, no indication that there was any other subject involved in it but him. So I just don't feel as though, based on the information at least that we have, which is limited, that you know, Mr. Downey's taking responsibility. If he's not taking responsibility for his actions or participating in it, and it could have been, he could have met up with his brothers, or I don't really know, but
I just don't think that it would be in the best interest of the community to release Mr. Downing.
Okay, thank you so very much, Honorable Mr. Johnson. Honorable Mr. Gawain.
Thank you, Mr. Board Chairman. I agree with both the Board Chairman and Mr. Johnson. I do want to commend Mr. Downey for the tremendous programming that he's pursued inside the correction system, and for his dialogue with the board. But as one voting board member, I just don't feel like we're hearing the whole story, and it's not necessarily to agitate Mr. Downey, but it when you put it together, I recognize, as we all do, that we're not here to retry a case, but it just seems that there's some missing pieces, and I'm not comfortable with community supervision at this point.
Thank you so very much. Further discussion? Hearing no further discussion, then I'm going to offer a motion, and my motion is going to be to deny Mr. Downey ADC number 098715, to deny general parole, that is for 12A or 411 absolute discharge or home arrest, and that is my motion. And I don't believe that he would qualify for or would he qualify for a 1 year set off. I don't believe that he would. Yes, he does.
Yeah,
any objection to a 1 year set off?
No, sir.
No objection, and there would be a 1 year set off as part of the motion. And reasons for the now would include, and please help me, board members, serious and violent offense, the loss of human life, serious and deviant behavior, trauma to the victim. I'm not going to put age of the victim, because, but there was serious bodily injuries. And I think he had a pretty good, we had a great, in my opinion, a great parole package plan. Although there were no family members present today to support him, but I'm still not going to mark that one. I am going to put that he violated previous probation,
yes,
because he was on probation at the time of the offense itself. Is there anything else that board members wish to include at this time?
Did he have recent discipline?
Recent discipline, you had two minors in 2017. Thank you so very much, sir. Anything else that board members wish to include? Hearing nothing else. Well, sir, this is your hearing.
Yes, well, that's right.
Okay, well, that's right.
I said that.
Okay, thank you so very much, Mr. Johnson.
Agreed.
Mr. Johnson. Honorable Mr. Johnson seconded it, and all the other board members agreed. And thanks for reminding me, because I was going to do it about the motion. Okay, Mr. Downey, your hearing has come to an end. Do I need to explain anything else to you, sir?
What was the something about a year?
Yes, so that means that the Arizona Department of Correction will certify you in about a year from now, not on this exact date, and you will appear before this, you will be invited to appear before this board again at that time, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Okay.
May I ask the board a question?
Yes, sir. We may not be able to answer, but please go ahead, sir.
As far as everyone on the board, I fully understand the discussion I just heard. But if there's any gaps, it's with my memory over the time. But am I to assume that, you know, I am telling the truth. I was not there when he was stabbed, but I still take responsibility. Am I to assume that in effort to hope for parole, I have to say that I did this?
No, sir. You have to say what you know is the truth. And that, and although there are 5 board members participating in your hearing, there is no guarantee that next year there will be the same 5 board members. The board does change from time to time. And even if it is the same 5 board members, we change from time to time. Therefore, we just ask you to come up with a good plan, and that's all that we can tell you. We can't tell you what to do, what to say. The board cannot do that because we, each of us, operate independent of each other. We vote independent. Therefore, you're just going to have to put together the best program you can and present it to the board, and hopefully the board will see fit at some point to move you out into the community, sir. But this will end your hearing. The board looks forward to seeing you next year, sir. Thank you, and please have a great afternoon, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. And then I